Richard Martin's Wake Up Call podcast, presented every Monday and Friday, providing you with the truth and the facts. You decide.
Good day to you all, ladies and gentlemen. This is Richard Martin with the Wake Up Call from the 19th of August 2016, and I am talking to you, as always, from Malaysia. Now, I'm allowing the non-donors some information here because it is so serious and so important that I really don't feel that I should be keeping it from you at this stage. So here's a little special. It's actually time to bring you up to date with the derivatives financial time bomb, which is waiting to explode. This is so serious, ladies and gentlemen. It defies reason. I cannot emphasize how critical this situation is. Fantastically enough, we're dealing with the exact same players that we saw enabling reckless behavior in 1998. Citigroup, the Fed, and the Clinton-led Wall Street Democrats. Here we are again, almost 18 years later, watching the same short-term selfish characteristics by the big money banks, putting the entire economy of productive individuals at risk again. There's something big and scary going on behind the scenes, but as usual, the public isn't reading about it on the front pages of the newspapers. Big banks and big insurers are sending scary signals. Just 1 week ago today, the broad stock market, as measured by the Standard & Poor's 500 index, declined a modest 0.29%, while big Wall Street banks like Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase fell by triple that amount. Bank of America, which bought the big retail brokerage firm Merrill Lynch in the midst of the 2008 crash, fell by 8.6 times the rate of the decline in the S&P to give up 2.5%. Equally noteworthy, two major insurers, MetLife and Prudential Financial, saw percentage market losses far in excess of the S&P. MetLife declined by 2.74%, while Prudential Financial lost 1.68%. Prudential Financial has been named what they euphemistically call a systemically important financial institution, or SIFI, by the Financial Stability Oversight Council. MetLife had received the same designation, but won a court battle to rescind the designation. The US government is appealing. The vote of no confidence on down market days in the complex US banks that hold both insured deposits from mom and pop savers while also making huge derivative gambles is a repeat of the action we saw earlier this year. On February the 3rd, 2016, four big Wall Street banks, Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, set 12-month lows in intraday trading, far outpacing the declines in the broader market index, as measured by the S&P 500. The banks have recovered some since then, but are nowhere near setting record highs, as the broader market indices have done of late. These mega banks should be a barometer of the overall health of the stock market and the US economy. After all, these are the banks that are making corporate loans, underwriting corporate stock and bond issues, and doling out credit to consumers. If the mega banks are experiencing air pockets of buying interest in declining markets, this does not bode well for either the market or the US economy. The price performance of MetLife should also be a red flag, indicating that perhaps the Financial Stability Oversight Council got it right when it designated the firm a SIFI. There is at least one potential concern contaminating market perception of the stability of these banks. That's the fact that despite all of the promises that the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation would rein in the Wild West derivative trading at these banks, no such thing has happened. Dodd-Frank was supposed to push the derivatives out of the commercial market banks, which hold the insured deposits, to prevent another taxpayer bailout, the so-called push-out rule. But in December of 2014, Citigroup was able to sneak legislation into the must-pass spending bill to keep the government running that overturned the push-out rule. The congressman who placed the provision into the spending bill on behalf of Citigroup was Kevin Yoder of Kansas. The nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics shows, quote-unquote, securities and investment as the number one industry, according to Yoder's campaign committee and leadership PAC. Using its insured bank's balance sheet as ballast, Citigroup's bank holding company now ranks as the largest holder of all derivatives in the US. According to the Comptroller of the Currency, the very bank that blew itself up in 2008 and received the largest taxpayer bailout in history now holds $55 trillion in notional amount of derivatives. But far more alarming is the type of derivatives Citigroup appears hell-bent on gaining market share in trading. Last week, I mentioned that Citigroup is ploughing into credit default swaps. The same derivatives that blew up the big insurance company AIG in 2008 and forced a government bailout of AIG to the tune of $185 billion. According to the data, Citigroup now has $2.08 trillion in credit derivatives, the vast majority of which are credit default swaps. Only JP Morgan is bigger, with $3.1 trillion in credit derivatives. Equally frightening, the vast majority of these are private contracts between financial institutions called over-the-counter, where regulators lack the granular details of the deals. Obama falsely promised the American people that derivatives would be moved onto exchanges with proper capital and transparency following the Dodd-Frank financial reform legislation in 2010. That has not happened. The vast majority of all derivatives are still traded in the dark. Not only are Citigroup's federal regulators allowing it to engage in this high-risk trading, but they are actually allowing Citigroup to purchase the high-risk positions of a deeply troubled bank, Deutsche Bank. Citigroup bought $250 billion of credit default swaps from Deutsche Bank in 2013. Bloomberg News also reported on the $250 billion Citigroup purchased from Deutsche Bank. Bloomberg News reporters Jeff Fergley and Donald Griffin wrote that Citigroup had purchased a portfolio of credit default swaps from retreating rival Credit Suisse Group AG, which had a notional value or face amount of $380 billion. To many rational minds, $250 billion here, $380 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money and real potential for blow-ups like those seen in 2008. On March the 8th of this year, the Office of Financial Research was just created under the Dodd-Frank legislation to monitor the build-up of systemic financial risks, released a study on credit default swaps. Its findings were deeply troubling. The report effectively suggested that the Federal Reserve was conducting its stress tests all wrong. The researchers noted that the Fed's stress tests are looking only at the bank holding company's direct counterparty concentrations for credit swaps rather than the indirect fallout. The authors found that, quote-unquote, indirect effects can be as much as 9 times larger than the direct impact on the bank holding company, and ignoring that reality could understate the stress on banks. That study may have sent a shot across the bow of the Fed, alerting it to nip in the bud any cascading effect from loss of confidence in the European banks that are holding credit default swaps. Both European banks that sold Citigroup their credit default swaps, Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse, have seen their share prices implode over the past 12 months. Deutsche Bank's stock has lost 56% of its value over the past 12 months, while Credit Suisse is down by 58%. But if the Fed is attempting to ring-fence credit swaps by allowing Citigroup to be the buyer of last resort, that has the potential to spread panic, not contain it. Citibank is, after all, the bank that brought us this mess by strong-arming through the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, listen, I have a lot more very interesting and important information for you, which is to be found on the regular show. So if you wouldn't mind, please, having a look on the left of the screen here at the donate button and then attending to it, which means depressing it, and please, following the instructions, sign up for a donation of your choice. I'm asking for $70 a quarter, but if you are in needful mind to send $30, please do so. I do depend on your donations, and I really need them at this time. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I will be notified and will put you immediately on the list of regular donors to receive the shows every Monday and Friday, bright and early. So that's it for me. Until Monday, have a great weekend. I will talk to you then. This is Richard Martin saying bye-bye.
And there you have it. You decide.